You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast.
This DIY feature is proudly sponsored by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge with pleasure.
I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge with pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bulalo Dive, Sunnydale.
It's 10:30 and time for the DIY feature with our sponsor, Mark Jabert from Paintsmith Long Beach. And we have a guest this morning, and our guest is JP from Crack Repairs. Good morning, Mark, and
morning,
welcome back.
Sue. Morning, morning. Thank you.
And shame you're down with this
flu. This dreaded lurgy has got me.
Yes, and you know, every morning I send messages out. I wish everybody that's down with the bug near and afar. So we hope you recover
but
fast.
But I understand, Sue, and I think every man out there listening to me, if you have flu, if a man has flu, it's not the same as when a woman has flu. We're a lot sickerer.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
It's like when you give childbirth, yes. That's what we go through with flu.
Yes, and I feel for you because
I'm weak.
And I can actually see that you're not well. So, but every morning, Mark, I put it out there because I know what this bag is like to everybody. So you're part of that. So we wish you a speedy
recovery. It's actually amazing this year. I've seen it more this year than in previous years.
And relapses. And relapses all the time.
I've got three staff that are down.
Yeah.
And as you say, if you don't heal and you don't heal properly and you don't stay in bed, it's going to boomerang and it's going to come back.
So we're glad you're here even under these conditions.
Even though I'm lying here on a stretcher.
Yes, you must see him. Our listeners near and far, if only you were a fly on the wall, if you're to see, he's got bandages, he's been patched up, he's as red as a beetroot. What can I say?
Drops.
And then we're going to go to our guest. Hello, JP. Welcome back. You've been on Zone Radio before, but it's awesome, always awesome to have you back. So our topic this morning, I'm now going to hand you over to Mark, who's now...
A really interesting one.
Thank you.
And I've got the same problem. And JP came to me a couple of months ago. He drove past my house and he said, "You need me, Mark." And JP is 6'3".
Yes.
So when JP says, "You need me," you listen.
Yes.
I've got a crack in my boundary wall.
Oh, dear.
And over time, it's been opening and opening. And he mentioned to me that he does crack repairs. Now, I've known JP for a while. We ride motorcycles together, but I never knew he was in the crack repair business.
Yes.
Which interested me because there aren't many crack repair specialists. In fact, I'll go as far as to say in Cape Town, there's no crack repair specialists. Am I correct, JP?
That's correct. There's a lot of guys that indicate that they can fix cracks, but not in the correct manner. So we're going to go through the correct ways of doing it today. And unfortunately, I can't fix his flu, but we can definitely do cracks.
Yes.
the old form and the old form of crack repair, and I had it done on one of my houses many years ago. They chip the plaster off. They get chicken wire or a mesh. They put the mesh in there and they replaster it. A year down the line, it's back again. Now, obviously, a mesh in a wall is really not going to do the job. For a small crack, a plaster crack, it might hold things together. But when you have a structural issue, a wire mesh and a replaster is not going to do it. As a homeowner, and I'm sure there's plenty of homeowners out there that with the rains that we've had recently, have got cracks, and the cracks are widening. You get two types of cracks, and correct me if I'm wrong, you get a foundation crack, and that is, from what our discussions were, that'll be a vertical crack on your wall. So if you see a vertical crack, that's your foundations. And what is the other one?
The other one is your settlement cracks. That's normally horizontal cracks that you'll find on your wall. And those are not that serious. You need to attend to it because you can't leave it. As soon as you leave a small little crack, even hairline, and not treat it, there's water ingestion, and the water ingestion is the main problem.
Is that where a crack starts? You'll see a settlement crack. There'll be a thin little line on your wall, And over time, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's correct, because that's water ingestion, and it takes it inside your wall and worsens everything. So that can turn into a vertical crack as well, because that water goes to the foundation, and that's where your main problems lie when it comes to cracks and difficult to fix. And the repair is also quite expensive if you leave it. You know, it's just an easy way to fix it. It's just to keep water out of it.
Let's just go back to the two types of cracks. You've got your foundation crack, which the homeowner will see as a vertical crack in the wall.
Mm.
Then you have a settlement crack, which is a horizontal crack in the wall.
Mm.
Let's go and have a look at what causes both of them. Let's start with the foundations, a vertical crack. Why would a homeowner see a vertical crack either in his wall in his home or in his boundary wall?
Okay, so your vertical crack is normally your foundation problems. There's some concern under your foundation or the foundation itself. It might be that there's too much water, the water table is too high, and then too little water is, it just sags away. So there's no consistency. Crack normally happens with a lot of movement combined with water, and it's taking the weakest spot on that wall, and that creates a crack because of tension.
Could it be that water has eroded underneath your foundations? I'm not a builder. I don't understand foundations. But if my foundation in my wall is dropping, let's have a look at a boundary wall. Let's speak of my case in particular. I have a boundary wall. I've got a vertical crack in my boundary wall, which tells me the foundations are a problem. But it's been fine for the last 7-8 years. It's only appeared now. Why would that be?
If I look at your wall, Mark, I see there's some trees close to it as well. Mm-hmm. So that might be root damage that you're picking up. And it's picking up the wall that's wider at the top than you'll find at the bottom. So that wall is getting picked up. So that might be your problem.
So it's not necessarily a problem with the foundation.
Mm-mm.
It's a problem with these horrible itchy bomb trees, which the council will not remove. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, you see, your foundation is really suffering because of that. So what you need to do is just open up and get those roots just cut back.
Is this something you offer as a company?
Root trimming, if it's small, we can, but not really, no. We focus on the crack repair itself, so we'll just get a partner that will be able to cut those roots back for us before we continue.
But you'll be able to tell the homeowner, this is not a foundational issue, it's a root issue. Before I can repair, get rid of the roots.
That's correct. Otherwise, we'll just do the repair, and it will last for a little bit longer than they normally last. But the problem, the source is not removed. So we need to remove the source before we can do the repair, just to be sure that everything is fine. Otherwise, we'll be creating more tension on your wall.
Yeah, and this is interesting. You talk about roots. With the amount of rain that we've had over the last couple of years in winter, an owner of a garden nursery was telling me that the trees now don't need to send their roots very far into the ground to look for water. It's all on the surface, and they are seeing more and more massive trees with roots on the surface because they really don't have to send them far down to look for water.
Yeah, they don't need to dig deep at all. And those roots, the weight that those roots can take, it just doesn't give a crap if it's a wall above it. It will just totally take
and
it
it's,
out.
And it's over time, so it's very slow. Okay, we've identified now whether it's a foundation or settlement. What are the corrective steps as a company that you would do? Let's start with the easy one, the settlement cracks. What would you do once you've identified what the issue is?
Okay, so first of all, if we see a settlement crack, it's not a serious thing, but you have to take action on that crack, otherwise it will worsen. So first of all, what we'll do is just open it up and see if there's any rot inside or the cement quality inside. I had some plants growing out of cracks and also moss, and that's an indication of wet. So we need to get the wet and all the rot out.
And that's literally, you climb in with an angle grinder.
We climb in with the angle grinder, we clean it up, and then check the severity, because you'll find that you'll have A-line cracks on some plaster and not inside. So you can only see that once you open it. So if the, depending on the width and the severity of it inside, then we'll decide what we can do. We can do stitching on it, or sometimes we can just open it up and do a waterproof mixture that we'll put inside, and that will bind it with the waterproofing that we paint on there as well.
Now we're going to get to the interesting part, and this is where you specialize, and you literally repair it with staples. Explain to the listeners, I've seen one of your staples, and it literally is a big staple. Tell me a little bit more about the actual staple, the material you're using.
Okay, so what we do is we use Y8 or Y10 steel rod that is bent into a very specific way. So it's bent over 90 degrees on both sides.
So literally it looks like a staple.
It looks exactly like a staple. It's just a big staple that you find stapling your papers. It's exactly the same. It's just a very big one. So why we use the bend over 90 degrees is as soon as we knock it in, it becomes very, very tight. It pulls on it. So it bends open to a certain extent, and inside the wall it will close slightly again and just grab that brickwork and keep it together.
So literally the staple, if you can imagine, you mentioned a staple that you staple papers together. If you can imagine, your product is the ends of that staple are bent inwards just a little bit. So it's more of a U than a...
Yeah, it's basically a U, just a little bit further than a U. And that staple is also treated. You can't just put a raw metal staple inside a wall, because you're dealing with water already. Now you're putting some steel in there as well, and the water will just attack the steel.
And now you've got a rust problem as well.
Then you've got a bigger problem, because now you need to get that out. And I mean, once you knock that thing in, it is quite a bugger to get it out.
You're not going to get it out again?
No, not easily, you know. It's really in there.
Okay, awesome. How do you put it in the wall?
Okay, so that's power only. So a big hammer and a big chisel.
And a lot of effort.
Yes, yes, yes. And you've got to make sure that you drill deep enough initially. I mean, if you didn't drill deep enough, you get there and there's still a few millimeters sticking out.
You're not going to get it out again.
No, not going to get it out. You're going to have to cut that steel and take it out piece by piece. It's just...
Once that steel is in place, that wall's not going anywhere.
No. That's staying there, and that's been proven that it's been lasting for 30, 40 years already that I've seen. My dad started with this 1980s. I mean, and he mended some cracks in his house and for other people as well. And it's still, it's not moving. It's not the hairline.
You've got to determine how many staples you need to keep that wall together. Is there a formula for something like this?
Yes, depending on the severity of it. But normally what I do, I'll do it every 20 centimeters, 20 or 30 centimeters, then we'll insert a staple into that wall that is snugged in under the plaster. So you just plaster over it, and you won't see that there was any work done. But yeah, every 20 to 30 centimeters.
But then obviously you've now got a wall that's open, you've got a crack that's 2 centimeters wide, you drill holes, you put your staple in, you now got to fill up that gap that's already there. Obviously, it's not going to pull your wall together. Your wall's going to stay the same. Correct me if I'm wrong. Your wall's going to stay, that crack's going to remain there. It's not going to close that crack.
That's correct.
You're now going to fill
where
that crack was. What do you utilize to fill that?
Okay, so what we do is we use a permabond and other mixtures as well that we put into the bend that makes it elastic and also waterproof. You need to focus on waterproof mainly. I mean, the elasticity is just to make sure, you know, if there's any movement, there's not supposed to be, then that will work against that. So that's a cement mixture that we put back. I mean, the house was built with cement, so we're just improving the quality on that specific spot.
Okay, so that one's pretty easy. Your horizontal crack that you can fix up pretty easily. I presume it's a day at the client site, a day or two potentially, if there's a lot of them. Then you get the other type of crack that we mentioned very briefly. That's your vertical crack, and that's where the foundations come in. This now becomes a little bit more complicated when you arrive on site. What are the steps that are required to fix a vertical crack where you know it's a foundation issue?
Okay, so
first of all, you've got to get rid of the roots.
That's it. If there's any roots involved, I find the quality of the soil is mainly the problem when it comes to a vertical crack on a house. Foundations are quite strong on houses. But first of all, what we need to do is just open up and find the source. Now, as you said, foundation. Okay, so we get the foundation. We see it's cracked. So we have two options there. We're not only going to stitch it and hide it. We need to deal with the source. So first of all, what we can do is just create an expansion gap.
And this is in the foundation itself?
Yeah, foundation and wall. So it goes all the way from the bottom all the way to the top. Create the expansion gap because obviously there's too much tension on that wall and that creates the crack. It takes the easiest way, and specifically with vertical, you don't play around with that. So you need to deal with the source, and that's the foundation. So that's where you're going to start. You will be doing stitching in after the foundation was sorted just to hide the crack or just get rid of it. But in severe cases, you're going to have to do underpinning.
I just want to go one step back. When you say you're going to create an expansion joint in your foundation, my wall, for example, is 8 meters long. You've identified where the problem is. Would you then dig out, expose that foundation, and literally angle grind right through foundation?
That's correct. You've got to go all the way through.
So you separate it from the rest of the wall's foundation.
Yes, and still allow some movement because of that, but it won't create cracks. And that's the problem. If you have a too long wall, I mean, we did an 18-meter wall, and there was one expansion gap. That's incorrect. It will never, you know, it moves. Everything moves. And that's the reason why you find cracks is movement and water.
And that's obviously your biggest challenge is underpinning a foundation. Why don't you just explain to the listeners what you do when you underpin a foundation? You've now created an expansion joint. You've separated that the problem area of the wall. But now you've got to correct the foundation that's either sinking or has moved or whatever the case is. How do you do that?
Okay, so first of all, underpinning is just digging one big hole. You need to get under the foundation. So you are creating another foundation under your current foundation, and that's just to stabilize everything. So it starts with a big hole, and then you get to fit a steel cage into that.
Underneath
the foundation, yes, and it steps up to ground level as well. So you're basically just creating something to lie on. So the foundation is lying on the underpin.
Is it a big job, JP?
It is. It is quite severe. There's a lot of steel and a lot of concrete involved and digging as well. So sometimes you'll find that it's clay. And then you dig a lot. It's quite tiring.
And it's labor intensive.
It is very.
And you doing the job as well, huh?
Sometimes I'll help him, yes. But physically, I mean, you see my shape.
You're in a supervisory capacity.
Yeah, I was designed for luxury and not too much work.
And at 6'700", it's also difficult.
That hole is also going to stay under me all the time. It doesn't matter how deep I dig, I will never. It's very labor intensive.
So we've got to have a look. The homeowner's got to have a look at. He's built a new house. He's going to get settlement cracks. That's just the nature of building a house.
That's normal.
9 times out of 10, that is just in your plaster work. Mm. It's not affecting your bricks or your cement blocks or whatever the case is underneath. But it's also something you've got to stop immediately.
Yes.
Because that settlement crack that's in your plaster, with the rains, with water ingress, that will, or not will, it could potentially turn into a proper crack.
Yeah, you say potentially. I mean, if there's water ingestion, it's guaranteed. You can't hide it. I mean, if you look at a wall and you look at a fine crack, you say, no, the water's just going to run over it, you know. But it doesn't. There's a vacuum inside. The wall actually sucks the water in.
Water dynamics.
Yes.
it's going to find that hole. It
the
will
easiest
find that
point,
hole.
It will follow it, you know, and it sucks it in. It's not as if you see, it's just slight rain. It's just going, it sucks the water in.
And I tell this to our customers in the paint shop. You've got to open that crack up. It doesn't help painting over a hairline crack.
Mm-mm.
Take a screwdriver. A lot of guys just use a screwdriver. Open up that crack.
Yeah.
Open up that hairline crack and fill it.
Ever so slightly.
Put
yes,
a primer on it, paint over it, and stop the water from going in there.
That's correct. And I see that the best, easiest way to find the correct... The easiest thing to do is just take Permabond. Everybody knows Permabond. You can find it in any hardware store. That's waterproof.
Yes.
Just open up the crack with a screwdriver, as you said, or anything you can find. A pen won't work, but just paint some Permabond on it. If you can keep the water out, your problem sorted.
And Permabond is going to sort that.
That's
problem.
Correct, yeah.
Mark, hello, David. David has come through, David Parker. He says, hi, all. We should work together, as I often get asked by clients to dig down and chop roots out that are growing towards a house. This happens a lot with Sterettias, and palms with their big ball roots. And he says, great show, as always.
How's it, David?
Hello, David. So there we go.
Hi, David. Yes, that's true.
So there's a connection.
That's it, David. I'll definitely get you details from Sue. We get that quite often. And as I said, that's the source. You need to find the source and get rid of it.
Yeah. I want to go a step back. Before we did the show, I did a little bit of research. Everything you've discussed now is obviously what came up on my research. But what I found really interesting is that a lot of sites talk about a helicoil bar that
yes.
you can do structural repairs. So just to explain to the listeners, a helicoil bar would be a piece of imagine a piece of rhubarb that's a meter long, and
and it's basically got a coil around it.
And it's got a coil around it. And yes. the idea is that you open up the grouting, you put the helicoil bar inside, and you re-grout it. When I had a look at this, my first thought was, this is not going to work. There's nothing to bite on there. And all that wall is being held together with is plaster. That's not going to do the job.
No.
Is this your experience? Do you make use of it?
With my experience, I found that the helicoil is a straight rod. So you still have movement on it. It tends to just pull out of the wall. You can use the epoxies, but the epoxies and stuff, and anchor cement that you use, or the anchor silicones, is super expensive. And it doesn't... It doesn't do the job.
So
in
your experience,
it
doesn't do the job.
No, it's a straight rod, and it still allows movement. You want to remove the movement.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Your staples, you mentioned your staples were 8 or 10 mils.
Yes, it depends on the severity. Normally, I work with an 8 mil, but 10 mil is also an option.
Okay, and that obviously depends on the size of the wall.
Yes.
How much movement there is, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, in foundations, sometimes we will use the 10, even go up to a 12.
Okay.
So we need to get the strongest in the foundation, and I would say 12 is sufficient for that.
Okay. You've now stapled my wall. I've got a crack. It's a
2.5 minutes.
Time flies when you're having fun. I'm going to talk quickly now.
Sure.
You've stapled my crack. The crack is obviously where the weakest part of the wall was.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to get the wall cracking next to that?
That's a question I get quite a bit. Because there's always movement, you would suggest, you would think that it will crack just next to it, because now you just stapled the crack and there's a weak point next to it. In my experience of a lot of years, I've never seen that. Because you treated the weakest point on that wall. And as soon as the weakest point is sorted and strong enough, you won't find a crack next to it. No, I never experienced that.
Okay. We've got to move. This doesn't necessarily have to be... Let's forget about your foundations. Let's just talk purely on your settlement, which is your horizontal crack. It doesn't necessarily have to be an expensive exercise for the homeowner.
No.
I'm putting you in a corner. what are we looking at? A thumb suck. No one's going to hold you to it.
Okay,
but
quick,
to get
quick
an
one.
Idea.
Just normal cracks that I normally deal with. You're looking at, say, for instance, a 1 meter crack. Every 20 centimeters, you're going to look at 5 staples. Per staple is going to be about 425 for treatment and closing and everything. So 425 times 5.
2,000 rand.
2,000 bucks, and then you've got a crack sorted, and it's a 3-year guarantee on it. If there's any movement, we'll get back there, we'll get it sorted.
That's painted, plastered.
That's plastered. Normally, I won't get involved in payment and painting, but
you send them to me.
Yeah, I'll send them to you. You're the paint guy.
Oh, Mark.
So it's not an expensive exercise at all.
Not at all. If you look at what's done there, because I saw a lot of, I dig out a lot of chicken mesh out of walls, a lot, and it doesn't last. No, it won't sort it. Go for the stitching. I mean, it's not expensive and it's guaranteed. And that will last you.
Okay, I know we finished now.
Mark, you're going to have a good laugh at this, and you, JP. Maybe that's the answer to Mark feeling better. Just staple his crack.
Who is that from?
Our dearest Jan.
Thank you, Jan.
Yeah, well, that's also going to be 1 meter, so that's 5 staples.
And it's cheap.
I love it.
You mustn't make me laugh. I'm going to cough. Awesome. I think for the homeowner out there, I was concerned when I saw my cracks in the wall. I'm still a little bit concerned because mine's a foundation crack, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
It's not.
And I think that puts a lot of homeowners off. They look at a crack and they go, oh dear, this is an engineer's business. I'm going to have to get someone in, and it's going to cost me an arm and a leg. I've got to take a second bond out.
No,
it doesn't. It's a week worth of coffees that you have done.
Exactly. And what you can do is just to see what we've done in the past, just go to www.crackrepairs.co.za. Have a look there. You'll find my details on there as well. I'm more than willing to come to your house and have a look and just straight tell you what the severity is.
JP, do you give? Do you charge for call-outs?
Not at all. No, free call-outs.
And you work all over. You're not just the
all over the show, northern suburbs, everywhere. We're wide.
All right. So time has definitely run out for us. So, Mark, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Even though you're not feeling well, Shane.
I feel a lot better now.
We're going to call the ambulance now to go and fetch you, and so that you can be wheeled out.
I can be wheeled out.
Yes, and we'll sort all your cracks out.
And the drip. I want to keep the drip.
Yes, I can put a drip.
I see that's
I'm
got,
good at putting
I
drips
see it's
up.
Got Tennessee whiskey in it.
Oh, yes. What can I say? JP, thank you for coming in and sharing your knowledge and expertise with us. And you too, Mark. And Mark, everyone knows you. Everyone knows where to find Mark, except not right now. He's not lekker, but you know where to find him. So, Mark.
Thank you very much. Thank you, JP. Thank you, Sue.
Yes, and thank you, David, for offering up that kind of service. I was going to make mention, but you came through, there we go.
Dave, I've got your contact details. I'll definitely give it across to JP.
Appreciate it.
And Jane, before our patient leaves, I'll check all the pipes. Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye-bye.
That DIY feature was brought to you by Paintsmiths Long Beach. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. I visit Paintsmiths for all things paint and revamp.
I visit Paintsmiths for trade and paint contractor advice.
And we are here for each individual or business in the valley. Service and knowledge. With pleasure. Paintsmiths Long Beach. Bullalow Drive, Sunnydale.